I thought the least that I could do on this show and in the next 15 days running up to the presidential election is showcase some of these third party and independent candidates that are going to be on the ballot in New York and other places, and who you have no idea who they are, and you may not have any idea what they believe in. And I'm just thrilled that we have the opportunity to start the show off with the Green Party candidate for president. Thrilled because I've been an admirer of this man for many years. As a third party activist myself, I've really admired that he's been through the trenches, and he's had much more success in the third party movement than many New Yorkers have running for various offices over the years. Very, very pleased to welcome the Green Party nominee for president, New York's own Howie Hawkins. Mr. Hawkins, thanks so much for staying up late with me this evening.
Hey, Frank. Thanks for having me.
So what made you – you've run for governor in the past. You've run for mayor of Syracuse in the past. You've run for a bunch of offices in the past. What made you decide this year, 2020, to take the plunge and run for president?
Well, a lot of Greens around the country asked me to. I was drafted. There was a draft Howie movement. I was actually working 12-hour shifts handling mail in the post office after running for governor in 2018. And it was from, you know, the week after the election till early January. And this whole draft Howie thing got pulled together. And I opened my email when I finally had time in January. And they'd already had the thing organized. So then it was a question of whether I say yes or not. And I looked around and didn't look like anybody else could run a serious campaign, you know, raise some money and cover the country. So I agreed to do it. That's how I got involved.
I want to spend some time talking about the issues you're running on and your policy prescriptions for America, because I think there'd be a lot of people, ironically, on the left and the right that agree with many of the proposals that you're putting forth. But just so folks know a little bit about your background, what is your background? I know you've never held elective office before, in spite of having run several times. You mentioned pushing mail around. What is your professional background?
Well, I'm a retired Teamster. I worked in construction and in warehouses for 50 years. But what really prepared me for politics, I got involved in social movements in the 1960s. I came up in the San Francisco Bay Area. Civil rights was a big issue. And then the war in Vietnam and the early ecology movement, a lot of it started out there. And I concluded back then that both parties were for that war. Both parties were dragging their feet on civil rights. They didn't know what ecology was. And that we needed a third party to represent those of us concerned about those issues. And so I've been involved ever since. I was involved when we had our first Green Party national organizing meeting in 1984 and have stayed involved ever since. So I, in having run for office a lot of times, I've been involved in a lot of campaigns around issues. I have a pretty good public policy background that comes from direct experience dealing with this two-party corporate state. It's not something I learned out of a textbook in a school.
So if before we delve into the issues themselves, I'm wondering if you can give the listeners your perspective on how the Democrats or whomever else, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but how certain forces within the political establishment have worked hard to make sure that you don't even be able, you're not even on the ballot in some states. Tell folks about some of the resistance you've had to fight just to get on the ballot.
Well, yeah, first of all, it's in this country, it's off the charts compared to other countries to get on a ballot. Use Congress. In most states, If you don't have a ballot line and run as an independent, it takes thousands or tens of thousands of signatures in a congressional district. If you want to run for the House of Commons in the United Kingdom, it takes 10 signatures. Mm. You want to run for Congress in India, the world's largest electoral democracy, it's 2 signatures. In Canada, it's 100. But here, it's thousands or tens of thousands. And it's the same way getting on a ballot state by state. So we had to submit petitions, particularly hard this year, with this COVID pandemic. So we asked for relief from the states. We sued. Some states gave us relief. Some cases we won in court. Some we lost. And then in 3 states where we turned in 2 to 3 times the number of signatures we needed, the Democrats were able to knock us off. I believe they violated the law in Montana and Wisconsin. In Pennsylvania, they used a trivial part of the law. That petition was They were two favorite daughters standing in because we hadn't had our national convention yet. And when they filed their paperwork to withdraw so the nominees could go on, one of them mailed it to the Board of Elections in the state instead of attaching it to the petition. And that's why we got knocked off the ballot. It was very trivial because the information they needed, they got.
But and to be clear, they had the petition had enough valid signatures to qualify for the ballot, and the Democrats, through some legal minutiae and jumping through hoops, were able to throw you off the ballot.
Because in all the court decisions in every state, except one vote in Wisconsin at the end, the judges voted strictly along partisan lines. In the boards of elections and election commissions, it was strictly along partisan lines. And that's one of the problems in this country. The two governing parties administer their own reelection. In Canada, they have a whole independent agency that administers their elections. In fact, electoral democracies all over the world do that, except here. So it's very partisan. And as you know, in New York, I mean, we'll get challenged on petitions just to force us to spend time and money documenting our signatures.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely abysmal. New York has some of the worst ballot access laws in the country. We're talking with Howie Hawkins. He's the Green Party nominee for president. Now, I know there are a lot of people that may agree with your platform on all sorts of issues, economic issues, environmental issues, go down the line. And they're going to be screaming at their radio saying, well, Frank, why are you putting this guy on? If anyone knows this guy is running and anybody votes for this guy, particularly in states like Pennsylvania, which could be very close, the only effect is going to be that Donald Trump could win that state. What do you say to that argument, Howie? I hate even asking the question, but I know there are a lot of listeners that are going to raise that.
Yeah, and it's raised every interview I have. Look, most Green voters wouldn't vote if we weren't on the ballot. We know from exit polls in 2016, our presidential candidate, Jill Stein, her voters, according to exit polls, 61% of her voters would have just stayed home if she wasn't on the ballot. The assumption that if we're not on the ballot, people are going to vote for the Democrats is wrong. Our people are people that are disgusted with both parties, and they want an alternative. And if you knock us off the ballot, those people are going to be even angrier than they were before. My running mate, Angela Walker, ran for sheriff of Milwaukee County back in 2014. She got 67,000 votes. It's over double what Jill Stein got. She's a native daughter of Black Milwaukee. How do you think those people feel that the Democrats knocked her off the ballot?
Right. Yeah.
We're going to vote for Biden because we can't vote for Angela. No, they're going to be angry.
Yeah.
It's a stupid strategy on the part of the Democrats. Their problem is the Electoral College and Black voter suppression. That's what enabled the loser of the popular election in 2000, the popular vote in 2000, George Bush, and in 2016, Donald Trump, to take the presidency, not the Green Party.
If people just tuning in, we're talking with Howie Hawkins. If you have questions for the Green Party nominee for president, you're welcome to call in at 1-800-848-9222. That's 1-800-848-WABC. Howie, let's talk about issues. What are the biggest issues of concern for you right now? What would be first, second, and third on your agenda were you to find yourself sitting in the Oval Office?
Well, I framed my campaign around three life or death issues. One is the climate crisis, and I was the first candidate in this country to campaign for a Green New Deal. We have a detailed Green New Deal budget on my website that shows how we can get to 100% clean energy and zero to negative greenhouse gas emissions by 2030. And as part of our Green New Deal, we've always had an economic bill of rights to deal with this growing inequality, where life expectancies in our country are in decline, particularly among working class people. So this is a program to end poverty and put a floor of economic security under everybody. So it includes a job guarantee, guaranteed income above poverty, Medicare for all, and public education lifelong from preschool and child care through post-secondary college and trade schools, expanding public housing so everybody has an affordable option, and increasing Social Security benefits so every senior can afford to retire above the poverty line.
So,
and then the third issue.
Yeah, please.
The third life or death issue is this new nuclear arms race, where the bullets in the atomic scientists says their doomsday clock, the closest it's ever been to midnight. So we have peace initiatives to try to reduce world tensions and then go to the other nuclear powers and say, we need complete and mutual nuclear disarmament because these weapons should never be used, because if they are, it's the end of all of us.
Howie, obviously those three issues, nuclear disarmament, the Green New Deal, and income inequality, those are issues that probably will resonate very well with the traditional left. We do have a lot of listeners that are conservatives and part of the traditional right. Is there any part of your agenda or your platform that you think would resonate with those voters, Republicans or conservatives that may not be happy with Donald Trump?
Yeah, we want to end corporate welfare. A lot of conservatives are unhappy with that. The minimum wage is popular across the board. And even some of these issues I just talked about, I've worked with members of the Conservative Party here in New York on Medicare for All, on public power for our energy utilities. You know, they're conservatives for social issues, but when it comes to the economic class issues, there's a lot more agreement, I think, across the spectrum than people realize.
Well, it's certainly going to be very interesting. Howie, if people want to learn a little bit more about your candidacy, what's the best place for them to go to do that?
Our website, which is howiehawkins.us.
How are you going to be spending Thursday when Trump and Clinton are participating in that debate?
Well, I'll be in Nashville,
Trump
too.
Trump and Biden, not Clinton, Trump and Biden.
Yeah, I will be in Nashville, too. I will be available to the media. And afterwards, I'll do a live stream giving my response to what they talked about.
I think the debate would be a heck of a lot more interesting if you and Joe Jorgensen were up there. I'll tell you that much. I think it's a little crazy that, you know, at a time when we're trying to get people involved in the political process and encouraging every celebrity with a blue check mark on Twitter finishes every public commentary by saying, make sure you get out and vote. Make sure you get out and vote. But yet the people that are in charge of running our elections and showcasing the debates, they won't even tell you all the candidates that are running. So I wish you the best of luck, Howie. I know how difficult this is, how taxing it can be, but how rewarding it can also be at times. So I know you have a lot of support around the country, but especially here in New York. So best of luck to you. Whether you win or whether you lose, I do hope we can continue to chat regularly on the radio.
Yep. And let me mention one more thing if I got a minute.
Sure.
You know, Governor Cuomo got a law passed attached to the state budget, tripling the number of votes we need to maintain a third party. So now we need three times what we needed before, and before we didn't need in the presidential year. So we need 2% of the vote, which is going to be 170 or 180,000 votes, just to keep the green ballot line. So I urge progressives, if you're for a Green New Deal, Medicare for All, and these other things, vote for us. That's an anti-Trump vote, too. And if you vote for Biden, you're voting against those things. So I hope we can get over that 2% hump and keep our ballot line. We're fighting for our life now in New York.
Howie, what the governor did with respect to changing the ballot access laws in the midst of an election campaign season, I think is absolutely unconscionable. I don't know if it's criminal, but it's certainly immoral and unfair. And as somebody that was in the leadership of a third party that lost ballot access in 2018, I can attest to how difficult it was to just get 50,000 votes, let alone 2% or 130,000 votes. So I wish you the best of luck. And certainly states like New York, which aren't exactly considered battleground states, if you're interested in maintaining a voice for progressive politics, it would seem to me to make a lot of sense to consider casting your vote on the green line. Howie, thank you for the time this evening. I appreciate you staying up late.
Thank you.
All right. That's Howie Hawkins, the Green Party nominee for President of the United States. A little bit later, we're going to be joined by Brock Pierce, an independent candidate for President of the United States. You want to comment on any portion of my conversation, you're welcome to give me a call at 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. This is The Other Side of Midnight.